Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I'm Andrew Kahn.
And I'm Ryan Zook.
The NCAA basketball tournaments are underway. The Michigan women's team's stay was short, while the men found a new coach after his team was ousted. Michigan hockey learned its NCAA tournament draw, and Sharone Moore met with the media recently. We're talking about all of that and more coming up on Wolverine Confidential. Okay, Ryan, good to be with you here. Monday morning, March 25th. How's your bracket looking? I know you were concerned about, you know, just another embarrassing opening weekend for you. I'll say this right away. You had Oakland over Kentucky. I saw that.
Yes, I did. Yes. Go Grizz, baby. I did have that. And so I did three brackets and took three different teams, and all three are still alive, although I think I had Auburn and Baylor in. I think one of them, I had Baylor going to the championship and then Auburn to the Final Four and won. So, but hey, I have Houston, Iowa State, and Tennessee as my three champions, and they're all still alive. So maybe there's hope. And hey, I even did your own personal pool this year, and I think I'm ahead of you at this point.
You probably are. That's how it goes for me. I just every year, the goal is just, you know, go to bed on Thursday night. You know, ideally with having lost no Sweet 16 teams, but at least not an Elite Eight team, and that didn't happen. And then another one the next day, and then Final Four yesterday with Baylor. So yeah, I've got three Final Four teams left, but you know, there are three number one seeds. I've got Houston over Connecticut in the championship. Like, you're not winning with those picks unless, you know, you do well elsewhere. And yeah, you know, it just wasn't the case for me this year. So
yeah, it's crazy. It's frustrating because like you just want to pick the right upsets, and it just seems like I know I had the one OU one, but like, man, I just wish it was more easier to predict some of these games. So that's what makes it fun. And I mean, yeah, it's who knows this year. Really, it looks like only UConn is. I kind of regret not taking UConn in any of them, but like you knew so many people would be taking them. And I hate just going with the favorite because I hate having to rely on the early games to separate yourself, because it's like you said, like you got UConn and Houston, there's going to be a ton of people with those two teams in the championship.
Right.
But it's been fun. I mean, I haven't had a chance to watch much. I know you and Aaron were both in Vegas at the same time, catching a little first round action. I was at a wedding this weekend, and I mean, didn't get to watch much of the Saturday or Sunday games. I did pull up the OU NC State game, the last or overtime, on my phone at the wedding. I got yelled at by my girlfriend, so then I only saw a few minutes of it. But yeah, no, it seems like it's been your typical March with some upsets and thrilling finishes. And yeah, like even Houston last night, I turned that on and I'm like, all right, they're up by like 8 points down the stretch, and all of a sudden it's going at overtime. So
yeah,
pretty wild stuff, but exciting as always.
Did you fill out a women's bracket? That's usually a little easier, at least to feel better about yourself. You have more correct picks.
I mean, no, yeah, I did not this year. I saw you were doing one of those too. I'm like, I just had too much stuff going on to get done before I left for this wedding. I'm like, no, maybe next year. Did you?
I did. And, you know, I'll tell you one I got wrong was Michigan first round. It was looking good for a while. They were up 10 with 5:47 left in the fourth quarter and by 5 points with 2 minutes left, but fell apart late. And then you know, kind of got dominated in overtime by Kansas. They lose 81-72. Michigan was the 9 seed there. They lose to 8 seed Kansas, who then advances to play USC, number 1 seed, tonight. So yeah, it was a disappointing end to the season. This was a team that, you know, for much of the season was just inconsistent, and you kind of thought maybe the ceiling, especially with the seed that they got, was win a game and then, you know, see what happens. But you know, that kind of, it became a microcosm of the season itself, with some, you know, high highs within the game, and then, you know, the lowest of lows, kind of falling apart late.
Yeah, I mean, I saw even like in the last like minute or so, they were up 3-2. I don't know what happened to send overtime. I get updates from the Michigan women's basketball Twitter account to my phone. I saw that they were up 3 with in the last final seconds, and all of a sudden I checked again and they lost in overtime. So I didn't see exactly what happened, but it didn't look good.
Yeah, they allow a 3-pointer late after, you know, they had an offensive foul and a missed shot, and then Michigan got the final shot, but it wasn't a particularly good one. So, yeah, just kind of a disappointing final couple of minutes there, as they tried to, at times it looked like, play not to lose instead of to win, and it cost them.
Yeah, that's. Did you know if they were favored in that game by chance?
It was a pick, I think, or close to it. It was like a 1-point spread, you know, either way, I think, you know, what you expect.
As 8-9 matchup should be, yeah, for sure. So yeah, like you said, it's kind of, it was an up and down season. What's next for them, and who do they have coming back, and what are their needs for this offseason?
This was sort of a gap year in a way, a sort of bridge year, I guess, you know, for the program. And Kim Barzarico decided to go the grad transfer route to kind of fill some of those needs on the roster. And so it worked out to get to the NCAA tournament. I think was a success, because now you're bringing in a monster recruiting class. I mean, it's their best yet by far, Michigan's best ever. They've got 2 McDonald's All-Americans coming in, 5 player class. So, you know, those 2 players in particular look like they could contribute right away. And you're adding them to a group that'll include Layla Filia, you know, all Big Ten player returning as a senior, you know, and several other starters as well, Jordan Hobbs, Kyra Evans, among others. You lose Cameron Williams. You lose 2 of the grad transfers that started, Lauren Hansen and Alyssa Brett. But, you know, another one had an extra year of eligibility left, Taylor Williams, so she'll be back. Alyssa Crockett will be back. You know, there's enough returners to mix in with a stellar freshman class to think that, you know, all right, the future looks very bright for Michigan, you know, kind of going forward. And to do what they did this year, I think, was a success.
Yeah, no, I mean, this program has never had this type of sustained success in their history, I don't think. So, like, I mean, KBA has really done a good job turning around this program, and it sounds like some exciting times ahead for this program, with bringing in some top-tier talent.
Absolutely. So they are, you know, they're in a good position. And then, you know, across the hall at, you know, at Chrysler Center in the offices there will be a new coach. It's Dusty May announced. That was while on my flight back. I, you know, was able to kind of see the news and write part of a story, and our colleague Matt Wenzel helped, you know, get it up on the site. But
hey, guess what? You actually had him on your list too, and he was one of your top options, and you mentioned him on our last pod. You nailed it.
Thank you very much. I know that list was very long, but you know who the very first name was? The very first one right on top was Dusty May. I then did a follow-up with just 3 coaches to watch in the NCAA tournament, and he was on that list as well. So, yes, I felt good about, you know, him as kind of the top target for Michigan. He was, and yeah, he's now Michigan's next head coach.
So why do you think he was the right choice?
Yeah, he's... you know, first of all, where the program is and, you know, where the program is historically too, you weren't just going to have your pick of any coach. This wasn't like the Kentucky or the Carolina job opening up. They were maybe limited to a certain extent. So there were coaches with maybe a longer track record. But May is a Midwest guy, despite being, you know, in Florida for a long chunk of his career now at Florida Atlantic, and before that, an assistant at Florida. yeah, you know, Illinois, grew up in Illinois and Indiana, went to Indiana, started as a student assistant under Bob Knight, had a year, his first year as an assistant coach was at Eastern Michigan, you know, before he started working his way down south. But yeah, you know, he's 47 years old. You know, he's got now the track record as, you know, 6 years as a head coach and trending in the right direction with that program, got him to the Final Four last year and 30 plus wins, and, you know, followed it up with a disappointing season overall. You know, they didn't win their conference. They didn't win a game in the NCAA tournament this year. They lost in overtime to Northwestern, but, you know, still he's proven recruiter, good X's and O's guy. And yeah, I mean, seemed like the logical choice to kind of make the jump now to the Big Ten. So yeah, Michigan gets this guy and they had to, you know, compete with Louisville, you know, for May. And, you know, they obviously, whether they won him or May, you know, just chose Michigan, well, felt it was a better choice. Regardless, they got him. And yeah, he'll be introduced here in Ann Arbor tomorrow, Tuesday.
Did I see that it's a 5-year deal worth over $3 million annually?
That is what Michigan said. Yeah, well, you know, they did put that very basic part of it, you know, in their initial press release. You know, I'll get the actual contract to take a closer look here shortly. But yes, that is a deal. I mean, I think that's very fair. You know, obviously major increase for him from what he was getting at Florida Atlantic. But, you know, won't put him at the top of, you know, the list of Big Ten coaches, but a little more than what Juwan was getting. And Juwan obviously didn't have that experience when he got the job. So yeah, that's kind of where I think it makes sense, I guess.
For sure. And I mean, obviously he has a lot of work to do because there's could be quite a few openings on the roster this year. So what are his top priorities? What's on the to-do list here before the season starts next year?
Yeah, I wrote about this on MLive.com just this morning. It's yeah, he's got his work cut out for him. I mean, various things to do with, you know, just familiarizing himself with, you know, the Ann Arbor and you know, some of the people in, you know, the athletic department and, you know, alums and NIL stuff. But his coaching staff, you know, sorting that out. But, you know, number one just has to be the roster. It is, you know, whether you want to say it's decimated, depleted, it kind of depends on the final decisions for a few different players. But we know this much so far. Four players have already entered the transfer portal in the first week since it's been open. Two others, you know, didn't say whether they were returning or not. But, you know, I got the impression they were probably done, at least Terrence Williams. We'll see about Namari Burnett. So yeah, that leaves just, you know, a few potential returners. So you imagine he'll contact them if he hasn't already, you know, try to get them to stay. He will do the same with the recruits. Michigan had three committed prospects at one point. One decommitted already once Juwan Howard was fired. Can he bring him back into the mix? Can he you know, kind of reaffirm the commitments of the other two? And you know, can he maybe look for more options out of high school? There are uncommitted prospects, a couple in the top 50 and then more than a dozen in the top 200, say, you know, if he wants to go that route. And then there's the portal, which, you know, again, Michigan is on a great timeline here as far as, you know, getting a head start on that kind of thing. And the obvious choices to kind of replenish the roster here are bringing over some of the stars from his Florida Atlantic team, right? I mean, those are the guys he knows. You know, he'll need to supplement that with other talent to be competitive in the Big Ten. But those guys were the real deal. I mean, I think they proved that in their run to the Final Four last year. So, yeah, several players who started games last year have eligibility remaining, including those top three players that, you know, you might remember, you know, Davis, Martin, and Golden, the center. They all did 4 years in college already, but one of those years was that 2020-21 season that didn't count against eligibility. So if they want a fifth year, they want a bigger stage, you know, they could follow May from Florida to Michigan and you know, give him a nice foundation for his first season.
Right. And obviously it would be a lot easier for them to get into Michigan too as a graduate transfer instead of being underclassmen and having to try and transfer that way. Because as we know, that's admissions is not always easy to deal with when it comes to getting other players in from other schools and transferring. So, yeah, it will be an interesting offseason ahead, and it'll be exciting to see what Dusty May can do. I love the name too. I don't know. I just big Dusty May fan just based off the name so far. So we'll see if that translates to the court also.
Yeah, it's it's a good point about the transfers. He had a similar situation when he got the Florida Atlantic job, back in 2018. He was able to retain just three of the scholarship players. And as a result, within those first few months, signed a 10-player class for his first year. And that included, four high school players, which, again, I noted as a possible route for him, a grad transfer, which fine, but then two regular undergraduate transfers and three junior college transfers. Like, the junior college route is not working at Michigan, and even the regular undergrad has been problematic. So, but you figure he knows that. He and Warren Mandel, discuss that. I'm sure that, he's not going to be shocked by any of these, kind of hurdles that he'll have to clear as far as roster assembly. It was a problem for Juwan Howard. We discussed this. He struggled to understand who he couldn't get, wasted time on some of those players, and it cost them because, you're watching the NCAA tournament now, Caleb Love in the Sweet 16, Terrence Shannon Jr. in the Sweet 16, Michigan commits kind of at one point that just didn't work out on the academic side. And, that was a main problem for Juwan. So, definitely one of the questions that will be asked to Dusty May tomorrow, as he gets introduced here in Ann Arbor as Michigan's next head men's basketball coach. Let's transition to hockey here. Obviously, want to look ahead to the NCAA tournament, but let's give a little time to the Big Ten championship game where Michigan lost to Michigan State. What happened in that game, and what were some of the takeaways?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like it was an instant classic at Munn Ice Arena. So as I said, like, I was at a wedding on Saturday, so I wasn't able to cover the game, but I watched the highlights, and it's like, wow, what a game that was. And talking with our Michigan State colleague too, Matt Wenzel, who was at the game, and he agreed it was definitely it lived up to its billing as an in-state rivalry. And unfortunately, Michigan's run kind of came to an end with a 5-4 overtime loss, back and forth game, it seemed like. It's what you want in a Big Ten championship, a hard fought game between two rivals. A lot of goals just in front of the net, not a lot of pretty goals, and that's this time of year. So I think, yeah, the game winner was just a C&I shot from the point with a little bit of a screen. Jacob Barcheski, Michigan's goalie, didn't see it. And then helmets and gloves and sticks went flying for the Spartans. And both teams are headed to the tournament, but it was huge for Michigan State because that put them into a spot to get a number one seed. And Michigan is stuck at the number 10 regardless, but they had a chance at a three-peat. Michigan State has kind of had their number this year, and that could have been a chance for a little redemption. But there's also a chance they face off again in the NCAA tournament as well. So the story might not be completely over yet this season between them.
I was certainly hearing from some Michigan fans who weren't thrilled with the officiating, especially near the end of that third period. Was it legitimate gripes there? Or?
I'm not too sure about that. So Matt did not mention anything about the officials, but no matter what level of hockey, there's always people complaining about officiating, just like in most sports. So who knows? Their first game this year, I think there was over 150 penalty minutes combined between the two. But that was kind of setting the stage for the season. The season series at this point, you just want to go out and win the game at any means possible. But I mean, bottom line, you have to score more goals than the other team, and it, officiating is always a factor. I mean, this year there's been plenty of games where Michigan has maybe had caught a few breaks and has been on the receiving end of some tough breaks too. It's just how it goes.
Well, it didn't stop Michigan from getting into the NCAA tournament, as we've been discussing on this podcast. Wolverines will play North Dakota on Friday in Maryland Heights, Missouri. Starts at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Will air on ESPNU, with the winner then advancing in the 16-team bracket to play the winner of top seed Michigan State and Western Michigan. So you got three Michigan teams, including, you know, two Big Ten teams and the teams that just played for the Big Ten championship in the same four-team pod, you know, with only one able to advance to the Frozen Four. Yeah, I guess, Ryan, kind of break down Michigan's draw, how and kind of how that happened as far as the, you know, the three in-state teams in the same little pod.
Yeah, it was stunning to me. I was not expecting that at all. It seems very, yeah, very shocking that Michigan and Michigan State would be in the same region. It's pretty simple in college hockey to determine the 16 teams that made the tournament, because it's based off the pairwise rankings, so basically a computer model. But picking the regions and sorting out those matchups can kind of get complicated, because, I mean, ideally the committee wants to put the number one seeds in the most geographically beneficial location, but with BU and Boston College both being number one seeds, that kind of complicated things. And there's also host schools for all four regions too. And since UMass is also a host school and hosting the Springfield Regional, they got to be placed there too. So things get complicated, but the goal is for them to avoid matchup or first round matchups between conferences or teams in the same conference. So that, but just the fact that, I mean, Michigan and Michigan State could face each other in the regional final too is pretty surprising. I mean, fans will love it. It's a great region for college hockey fans, because, I mean, Michigan State up until recently has a rich history. North Dakota and Michigan are both blue bloods. So, I mean, I could see any four of these teams making it out of the region, and should be an exciting weekend of hockey.
We'll have more previews of these games on MLive.com/Wolverines in the days leading up to it. Again, Michigan will play it Friday night against North Dakota.
And I'm sure it's not going to be at 8:30 either, unfortunately.
I was going to say it's the second game of the night. Yes.
Yeah. So it could be a lot later, but headed to the St. Louis area, and I'm sure they will be treated to some good games there too. I mean, when you talk about blue bloods, like I said, I mean, Michigan and Denver are both tied with the most national championships with 9. And North Dakota's right there behind them with 8. I mean, they've made the tournament all but 4 years since 1996, I believe. I mean, Michigan and North Dakota have had some epic matchups in the NCAA tournament as well. I mean, whether it's 1998 when Michigan rallied to beat North Dakota to reach the Frozen Four. I mean, I still talk to people about this a lot. Like, they say that is the craziest game in Yost history. That was back when the regionals were held at host sites, back when home fans got to experience those games. And 2016, North Dakota's last national title, they knocked off Michigan in a regional final too. And that was when Michigan had that dominant CCM line with Comfer, Kopp and Mott. Or Connor, Comfort and Mott. It's been a few years now. Right. So, but very intriguing draw. Michigan, despite the loss, still has won 7-10. They're playing pretty well. North Dakota's kind of gone the other way in the past little bit. They've lost 5 of 9, but they still won the NCHC regular season title, one of the best conferences in college hockey. They're a deep team. They have one of the best most dynamic offensive players in the country in Jackson Blake, a fourth round draft pick to the Carolina Hurricanes. And oddsmakers believe this is basically a toss up as well. So Should be an exciting game, and we'll see if Michigan can extend their streak to four or three straight Frozen Fours. But it's a lot tougher road than they've had the last two seasons, that's for sure.
As we mentioned, the new head football coach Sherrone Moore did speak for the first time since his introductory press conference on Friday as Michigan begins spring practice. I guess first things first, Ryan, you were there. What were kind of the big takeaways from Sherrone's press conference?
I mean, the biggest thing was just him addressing the Greg Strug's resignation. I mean, it literally happened with an hour before he was set to meet with us at the media, and in his statement, he said he couldn't really describe many details of the situation, but he was asked about it, and yeah, it's a tough blow for Michigan. I mean, Strugs was arrested on March 16th, early in the morning, around 3 a.m. For operating while under the influence. And yeah, he has a history with driving under the influence as well. And they suspended him immediately. And then we received the police report early Thursday afternoon. And sure enough, right after that is when we got the announcement that he was resigning, and Michigan will now have to look for a new defensive line coach just less than a month after they hired Strugs as well. So Sherrone Moore said they're going to try and act swiftly and hire a replacement, but still not ideal timing with Michigan beginning spring practices last Monday and already having a completely new defensive staff, and then now having to add another new piece with in March or in even April if it takes a little bit longer. It's definitely not ideal.
Yeah, you wonder if those promote from within. Obviously, that would be someone that was not their first choice, but or open up the search again and kind of start new. I don't know. All right, yeah. What else did Moore say? Anything on the quarterbacks or anything about how the team is looking early on here?
Yeah, I mean he repeated a lot of what Kirk Campbell said before, that all like five starting or quarterbacks are in competition. Kind of gave them all some props and said they're doing well, and not really anything new to glean there. But he did mention a few standouts from early on. They only had a few practices at the time, but a couple of young players that haven't played much in a Michigan uniform that he's been impressed with, DJ Waller and Jair Hill, two sophomore cornerbacks who could have a big role this year, obviously with Michigan losing Josh Wallace to the NFL, Mikey Sanders still to the NFL, Amarion Walker is transferred. So they need some corners to step up, and so far those two guys have been impressive. And then now Etta, a sophomore defensive edge guy, he was their top ranked recruit last cycle in 2023. Didn't really get a chance to play much as a freshman, which isn't surprising given all the other edge guys they had in the rotation. But Sherrone's been impressed with him too. But other than that, yeah, not a whole lot. He spoke for about 16, 17 minutes. He says this team's hungry, motivated to kind of continue the momentum from the national championship. And it will be tough, though, because, as we said, they have a lot of bodies to replace, but it seems like they have the right attitude. And we'll finally get to talk with a few players here today, later this afternoon. So we've only had the two coordinators and head coach so far, and get some players today. So we'll have more coverage on MLive.com from that later on today and this week.
Yep. Pretty wild, new basketball, men's basketball and football coaches this year, both the two highest profile sports at Michigan, and in very different positions. I mean, yes, we could say maybe the cupboard isn't completely full for Moore at Michigan, but they're coming off a national championship, three straight Big Ten championships. The men's basketball program obviously trending in the exact opposite direction, just bottomed out at 8-24 with completely depleted roster now. So two different jobs ahead of them for Sherrone Moore and Dusty May. But we'll have coverage of all of it, Michigan hockey and more on MLive.com/Wolverines. Thanks for listening.